All right, let's have a word of prayer before we begin, then we'll read some scripture together and pray the Lord will meet with us this afternoon. Our Father, we thank you today for your love to us.
Yes.
Dear God, we're not deserving of anything that you have for us. But God, I'm glad that you speak and take your word and to apply it to our hearts and to help us in every problem that we have in our life. And dear Lord, I pray now that you would bless this time together. Thank you, God, for opportunity once again to stand and proclaim the word of the Lord. There's nothing greater, nothing better than this book that I have before me. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless our hearts today as we've already been blessed these nights and days ahead and even this morning. And I pray, God, that you'd use your word, for it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if you would be seated, I want to probably give you some introductory remarks before we read the scripture. I'm not going to really read a lot of verses as far as the text is concerned. But thank you, Brother Shepherd, for inviting me to be here. And I thought I turned it on. Now, I hear myself now. Let's do a rewind on this. Brother Shepherd, I do appreciate you inviting us to be with you these services. I met Brother Shepherd first time there in Sturgis, and we had some fellowship together, and he invited us to come. And to my shame, he should not have had to invite me. He was the new fellow in town, and I should have already made my acquaintance with him. And you forgive me for that, because sometimes we let difficulties, sometimes we let our pride get in the way, and we just don't do the things that we ought to do correctly. But I appreciate the opportunity this afternoon to be in this place, and I do consider this a house of the Lord.
Amen.
And we stand on the same principles.
Yes, sir.
We preach the same book.
Amen.
We believe the same thing.
Amen.
And so may God help us to serve Him in these days that are ahead for us.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad that we were able to have the anointing service a little earlier.
Amen.
And the Lord's able to do all those things. There's not a one of us in here today that has not experienced some difficulties in our health.
Amen.
If you haven't yet, just hold on.
Yep.
Because it's going to come.
Yep.
I always was told that when you hit 40, things begin to go down.
Yep.
Well, I did pretty good till I hit 50, and then they started that downhill slide. And I'm just trying to give you some warning there. But it hits different times at different places for different people. But our God's able to take care of all those things. And that's what I want to try to speak to you just a little while on that God is able.
Amen.
There's not a more able person in this world and out of this world than our God.
Amen.
He's able to do whatever He so chooses to do.
Yes, He is.
And wherever we're facing and whatever we're facing before us, He is able to take care of us.
Yes, He is.
Whether it be in health, whether it be in ministry, whatever it is, God is able. And I just put down some verses here I want to share with you out of the scripture. And this is not my text verse, but it gives you an introduction to the thought that God is able. We find in Matthew chapter number 3, verse 9. I'm just going to read these real quickly, and I'll not read all of them. It says, "I think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham and our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones."
Amen.
He says here to rise up children unto Abraham. God's able to do the impossible.
Amen.
As far as we're concerned. In Luke chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "Therefore, bring therefore fruit worthy of repentance, and being not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham as our fathers, I say unto you that God is able."
Yeah.
Romans 11:23, "They also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." Romans 14:4, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? to his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound. Thank God he is able to make grace abound to us. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 37, Nebuchadnezzar, he says, I praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to, what, abase.
Amen.
He is able to bring the prideful men and people of this world,
right.
He's able to bring them down. I may not be able to do that, but I'm glad God's able to put himself in that position and to bring them down. To understand who God is. And I believe Nebuchadnezzar learned that.
Right.
He had learned the hard way, but he learned who God was and that God was able to do that. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 says, For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that what? He is able.
Amen.
Thank God this morning, this afternoon, God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Amen.
That day that's in the future, God's still able to take
that's
care
right.
of every need that I have. Hebrews 2:18 says, For in him he himself hath suffered being tempted. He is able to succor them that are which are tempted. Hebrews 7:25, Therefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost.
Amen.
Thank God he's able to take care of our need personally and to save us to the uttermost that we can have the joy of the Lord in our heart. Seeing he is with God ever to make intercession for us. He is able. And this afternoon I want us to think about the ability of our God.
Amen.
The ability that we have, that he has shown unto us and given unto us. Now, if you would, turn back to the book of Genesis, chapter number 3. Very strange. I woke up one morning just a few weeks ago. God put these thoughts on my heart and my mind. And I've never used these verses like this before. I preached this at Grace not too long ago. And never had used the verses like this before that. And wasn't planning on using them today, but the Lord gave me this thought anyway.
Amen.
And I do appreciate opportunity. Genesis chapter 3, of course, we know the story of what has happened here in this chapter. The temptation has come. Eve has befallen to that that Lucifer, that is the tempter. He came as a serpent, and she fell very hard. And she was deceived in the actions that took place, and she goes to her husband, and he willingly takes of that forbidden fruit that God says, don't partake of that. We've heard messages already this week on this chapter, how that the devil came and how he destroyed and how he tore down, how he defeated the very purpose that the Lord had, or he thought he was going to defeat it. But God has a way, because he's able to take what the devil does, remake it and rework it and make it for his honor and for his glory. And I'm glad he's able to do that, not only in Adam's life, but he also can do that in my life, and he can do that in your life. So I want us to think four or five things, and then I'll sit down and let somebody else get up here and preach. And I just come to enjoy. And so if you'll listen real good, I'll try to talk real fast and get these things out of the way here, and pray that the Lord will bless that and honor it. And the Bible says that God has a purpose. We know that. God has a purpose in everything that takes place in this world.
Yes.
And we look at that. We know what's going on in our world. And nothing has taken God by shock.
That's right.
Nothing by surprise. He is not sitting in heaven wondering what he's going to do next. That's what we do. God doesn't have to sit up there and wonder what's going to take place. He knows, because he's already purposed that it will happen according to his precious will. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:11 says, In whom also we have attained inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him. He has a purpose for our life, and he worketh all things after his counsel. And so God's not up there worried about what's going to happen in November and who's
That's
going to
right.
win.
That's right.
He's not worried about what's going to take place in the Middle East. He already knows that.
Right.
He's already taken care of that, and it's going to happen just like God said it would.
Right.
And I'm not no hyper-Calvinist and all that junk goes, but I do believe that God's sovereign.
Sure.
He knows.
Amen.
He understands. He predicts. He determines what's going to take place. And I can't get in His way. If I do, I'll be removed.
Right.
He brings up men. He sets down men.
That's right.
He does according to His purpose and His will.
Sure.
So here in the book of Genesis, we have God in His creative act. We have Adam and Eve. The serpent comes along and tries to disrupt everything that God had planned.
Right.
Well, he thought he was going to disrupt it. But God has a better plan.
Amen.
And God's able. And I want us to see four or five things here this afternoon that God's able to do. First of all, in these verses, we'll read in verse number 9, the Scripture says, "And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" Now, by the way, God didn't have to find out where he was. God knew where he was.
But
God wanted Adam to know where he was. God knows where I am. God knows my position. God knows my faults, my failures, my sins, my weaknesses. God knows all of that. But every once in a while, he'll come along and say, "Lawrence, what are you doing? What's going on? What's taking place in your life?" And so he comes to Adam and he says, "Where art thou, Adam?" God's able to find Adam right where he was as a sinner. He has befallen to the transgression. He has failed. He and his wife have transgressed the Word of God, the literal spoken Word of God that he had given to them. And now God has to go along and he finds the sinner where he is. I'm glad one day he found me where I was, found me in the depths of my sin, found me away from God, found me an enemy at enmity against God. He found me as a sinner. And he was... Sometimes he finds us scared. Adam, now he has realized what's taking place. All of a sudden he realizes he's naked.
Yep.
All of a sudden he realizes fellowship has been broken. Adam, where art thou?
Yep.
What are you doing, Adam? What's going on in your life?
Yes, sir.
And I believe God found Adam scared because he has hid himself from the one that had been talking with him all along.
Yes, sir.
So it goes like what our brother just spoke about. Sometimes we get away from God and we don't hear His voice like we need to hear.
Yes, sir.
And here the Lord comes and He says to Adam there in verse number 9 of chapter 3, "The Lord God called and said unto him, Where art thou?"
Amen.
Can you imagine how that voice must have echoed through the garden? All of a sudden, God's asking him, "What are you doing, Adam?"
Yeah.
"What have you done, Adam?"
Mm-hmm.
And Adam is sitting there scared to death, and God finds him scared.
Yes, sir.
How many times God's found me in that position?
Yes, sir.
Even after I've gotten saved, there have been times I've been afraid, been times I've had fear in my heart and
my
life because of not knowing the future, not knowing what's going to take place, not knowing what's going to happen. But thank God, He knows, therefore He can come and find out where I am so He can take care of me.
Amen.
In the place where I am. He is the only one that can do that.
Amen.
He finds him scared. He finds him sinning. He just simply finds the sinner.
Yep.
Every one of us in here this afternoon, he found me one day. I didn't go looking for God. I'm not of that persuasion. I don't seek out the Lord. He came seeking me.
Yes.
And if I was going to get born again, it was going to be the Holy Spirit coming and letting me know I needed a Savior. I needed God. I needed Christ. I needed that sacrifice that was given there on Calvary. He loved me, therefore He sought me.
Amen.
And I love Him this afternoon because He first loved me.
Amen.
And if you love Him today, it's because of His love given to you. So God's able to find the sinner. Aren't you glad?
Yes, sir.
Doesn't matter how far we go, how high we might fly, or how to the depths we might fall. Doesn't matter where we might hide. God's able to find us.
Yes,
and to give us the Word of the Lord. Not only that, we find in verse number 13 that God is able to focus not off only just the sinner, but He's able to focus upon his sin. Now it gets down there personal when it comes to that. It's pretty good when I can talk about the sin of the world.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy when I can talk about somebody else's, but what about mine?
Right.
What about mine?
Amen.
Verse number 13 says, "The Lord God said unto the woman, What is this thou hast done? Adam, where art thou?" Eve, what have you done? What a question. What hast thou done? I wonder maybe in that question if the Lord didn't say and give the thoughts to Eve, why didn't you listen to me? We could take time and read the scripture. You're familiar with that, how that the Lord told them exactly how they were to dress the garden and take care of the garden. What hast thou done, Eve? Why did you not listen to what I've given to you? Well, that comes home close sometimes.
Yes, sir.
The Lord says, why don't you listen to me instead of everybody else?
Yeah.
Amen. That's right.
Why don't you listen to my words instead of the words of the influences around?
Right.
Eve, what have you done? Adam, where are you? We find here that he says, why did you not listen to me? Why did you listen to the wicked one? Why did you listen to the serpent when he said, hath God said?
Yeah.
Why did you lend the ear when he said, did God really mean what he said?
Right.
Sometimes we lend that ear too, that we come to wondering, does God really mean what He says here?
Amen.
Well, God means what He says and says what He means.
Amen.
My problem is believing what He says.
Right.
And doing what He wants me to do.
Right.
So Eve, why have you listened to the serpent? He come and said, hath God said? Did He really? Nah, He didn't mean you'd die if you eat of that fruit.
Right.
He just simply meant, God meant that if you took that, you'd be like Him. That wasn't what God meant.
No, sir.
God meant what He said. He said, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, they didn't bury Adam and Eve that day, but you know what they did? They died.
Right.
In the process of time, they buried them later on.
That's right.
But death became very active in their life.
Yes, sir.
And death is very active in our lives today.
Yes, it is.
Death is very subtle. It comes along very quietly sometimes.
Amen, brother.
And it pops up, and before we realize it,
yep,
we're facing that which we know is ahead.
Mm-hmm.
What hast thou done, Eve? Why did you listen to the serpent? Why did you not listen to me?
Right.
Why don't you take my word for what it is? Why did you listen to the wrong one? What have you done? What have you done? What have you have broken the rules and the law, and the word that I gave you personally?
Right.
Don't eat of the tree.
Right.
Why did you listen to Him and did not listen to me? Oh my goodness, how many times I've had to answer that question.
Yes, sir.
How many times I have listened to the wrong influence and the wrong words and the wrong voices when we just really simply got the Word of God that tells us, here's what you need.
Amen.
We don't need to explain it away. We just need to believe it and do it and follow it.
Amen.
I believe this book that's standing laying here before me, I believe it is the very Word of God and
Amen.
Has the truth for each of us.
Amen.
God focuses on, He finds the sinner, then He focuses on our sin, doesn't He?
Yes.
But He can put a light on it. Nobody else may see the light, but we know it's there.
That's right.
Nobody else may know what's going on in our heart, but God lets us know what's going on.
Amen.
And He comes to us in that still small voice, sometimes a very shrill voice, what have you done? Why have you done that? You belong to me and you're doing that? You're acting that way? You're mine?
Mm-hmm.
God focuses on our sin. Now, I like to focus on everybody else's. You know what I mean.
Yes,
you know why? Because you like to focus on everybody else's
right.
too.
Amen.
But God focuses on my sin.
Yes, sir.
Amen, brother.
He puts that microscope on it.
Yeah.
That which nobody else can see. That which nobody else knows about. That's what's hidden in the back recesses of our thought process.
Right.
That we may never see, we may never say anything, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
He came to them before the flood, and every imagination of their thoughts were only evil continually.
Yes, sir.
The imagination of their thoughts, that's the things that was not said.
Mm-hmm.
That's the things they were just thinking about.
Right.
Amen.
God knows what we think about.
Amen.
Well, I've had to say, God, forgive me my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
He focuses on our sin. Because it is our sin that keeps us away from Him.
Right.
That's right.
It is that sin that separates us from a loving God. And it separates us from the blessings of our God. It separates us from the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We know we're saved, but my goodness, we're not happy as we ought to be. Why? Because our sin has separated us.
Right.
Amen.
It has brought us to a place of despair and hiding.
Yes.
He tells them here, or asks them the question, why, where art thou, and what have you done? We could stop there and be done today. Where are we?
Mm.
And what have we done?
Yes, sir.
I'm afraid too many things of mine have been the wrong direction, the wrong way, and the wrong will. And so the Lord, He puts His light upon that sinner and on the sin that they have. I'm glad it doesn't stop there, aren't you?
Amen.
Look at verse number 21, this same chapter.
Amen.
It says, Adam also, and unto Adam and also to his wife, did the Lord God make, what is it, coats of skin.
Yes.
He furnishes in type, a Savior.
Yep, that's right.
He has sought out the sinner. He's put the light on who they are and what they are. Now He says, let me take care of it for you.
Amen.
Boy, thank God He did that for me one day.
Amen.
If you're here saved, you know He did that for you also.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. He furnishes a sacrifice, coats of skin that pictures the shedding of blood one day that be shed upon Calvary's tree. On a hill far away stands an old rugged cross.
Yes, sir.
It's not nothing to hang around your neck. It's an emblem of suffering and shame.
Right.
It's there because of what Christ did one day when He came for us. Those coats of skin that showed to us one day blood would have to be shed. Now the fig leaves were not enough.
Right.
That's right.
Just wasn't enough. Couldn't do the job. The fig leaves was something that they sewed together to cover the nakedness that they shouldn't even have known about. Because God made them in innocence. When they sinned against God, they realized they were naked. God said, how come you know that? Again, He didn't have to ask that. He knew, He wanted them to know why they had that. And so out of their fear and their anguish, they sew fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. And it was not able to do that. And so the Lord God of heaven kills some animals. If you can tell me what they are, go right ahead. I have no idea what animals He killed. I've heard everything possible. And I still don't know. One day we'll find out. It doesn't matter, does it?
Right.
It was coats of skin.
Right.
It doesn't matter what the animal was. It could be an animal we don't even know about because that may have been the sacrifice God gave. If it was a lamb, then so be it.
Amen.
Whatever it was living, breathing, flesh, and had to shed blood.
Yes, sir.
So God finds the sinner. He focuses on their sin. Now He furnishes a salvation.
Amen.
That's our God. He furnishes a sacrifice, a Savior
Amen.
In type. And it had to be by the shedding of blood. And
yes,
by the way,
sir.
It's still by the blood.
That's right.
Amen.
I don't have to preach that here. I know what you all believe.
Amen.
We're saved by the blood of the crucified
yes,
one.
Amen.
We have life today because one day He gave His life.
Right.
We're going to heaven because He came from heaven.
Amen.
We're going there because He came here.
Amen.
And all those things, we understand that. And He furnishes to them a sacrifice, a covering for their sin, a picture of an atonement. It's a picture of that which they went through all the Old Testament, every day of atonement, every year. They'd destroy, they'd kill the lamb that they'd put up for those days. And for another year, those sins had be pushed forward until the next day of atonement, and they'd have to do the same thing over again. Oh, but thank God for the book of Hebrews.
Amen. Amen.
Hebrews tells us we don't have to do that anymore because we have one sacrifice, and that sacrifice was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so He is able. He's able to find me. He's able to focus on me. He's able to furnish a Savior. At verse number 21 also, and we're bringing it in here even in this point, He made coats of skins and clothed them. He clothed them picturing a robe of righteousness.
Yes, sir.
That little old fig leaf wasn't enough to cover anything. That's what a lot of people try to do today.
Yep.
Don't cover very much.
That's right.
But God slaughtered some animals and made them coats that covered their nakedness. And that was a type of the robe of righteousness that one day God put upon me and put upon you.
Yes.
To make us and to show us as around those around us that we are righteous. They have a robe, and He cleared away the old fig leaves. He took care of the works of the flesh. He took care of the works of man's hands. And He says, here's what I have for you.
Amen.
You faltered, you failed, you sinned. But here's what I'm going to do for you. Thank
Amen.
God this afternoon He's done that for me.
Yes, sir.
I was 8 years old when I heard the gospel. I'd been in church all my life. My mother told me, and she said, you went to church when you were 3 days old.
Amen.
And I thank God for a mom and dad that loved God.
Yes,
sir. I mean, when we had church, we were there.
Yeah.
If we had a 2-week meeting, we was there 2 weeks.
That's right.
If my dad's family would come in from California, guess where we were when they were there waiting on the porch for us to get home?
Yeah.
We was at church.
That's right.
Amen.
I thank God for that heritage.
Yes, sir.
And I heard the gospel, and one day God clothed me. I was sitting and listening time and time again, and the devil would come along and say, oh, you don't know what you're doing. I said, well, I'm just going to do it anyway.
Amen.
And it's held pretty good now.
Amen.
It's done okay.
Amen.
The fig leaves don't work. They deteriorate, they destroy, they're gone.
Right.
The coats of skin will stay with you.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ that covers our unrighteousness will stay with us.
Amen.
We don't have to have an atonement now. He is taking it away.
Amen.
As far as the east is from the west, remembered never again against us. He finishes our salvation. And then He's faithful. Here Adam and Eve are. They have sinned. God has provided them everything they needed. But something goes wrong in their household.
Oh, yeah.
They have two boys, Cain and Abel. Something's bad wrong. They brought an offering to the Lord. Abel's offering was accepted. Cain's was rejected because Cain's was still fig leaves. Cain's was that which had no blood.
Right.
And so here Adam and Eve are, and Abel's dead. Cain is banished. Not a very good picture there, is it? But just as He's able to find us and focus on us and furnish a Savior and finish our work, He's faithful in every situation.
Amen.
Look over in chapter 4, verse number 25. Adam knew his wife again. And she bare a son. and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there were born a son. And he called his name Enos. And notice the next statement here. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Another son called Seth. Abel is dead. He made the right sacrifice. Cain murders him. Cain is banished, and he says, this is more than I can bear, and he goes out. I believe that would be the cry of every man in hell, every person in hell. This is more than I can bear.
You're right.
Amen.
And so God is, again, not left wondering what to do. He takes care of every situation. Had to be another son. And through that son called Seth, there's another son born, Enos. And men began to call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
God is faithful in every situation. The righteous line from which the Messiah would come came through who, Seth?
Right.
Men began to call upon the name of the Lord. I wonder what situation we have that only God can handle.
Yeah.
We can go back and remember when God saved us. He sought us. He found us. He furnished us our Lord. He gave us all those things. But I'm glad I can declare to you this afternoon that in my life, God has always been faithful.
Amen.
We had our prayer earlier for this gentleman. God's faithful.
Yes, He is.
Amen.
This has been one of the worst years of my ministry as far as health concerns. But God's faithful.
Amen.
Back about a year ago, I had to have neck surgery. Had to have C3, 4, and 5, whatever that means. Had to have it fused together. I'd lost use of my left arm almost totally. And I'm left-handed. Very left-handed. And so there wasn't any option. I had to have it done. And the doctor said, you'll be hoarse maybe 3 or 4 days. Well, I didn't preach anymore from October last year until March of this year. 15-16 weeks, I could not speak. The doctor didn't know why. He just said, it'll get better. I said, well, I hope so. He said, it's pretty bad for a preacher not to be able to talk. And I said, yeah, about like a doctor if I break your fingers.
Yeah.
He didn't really appreciate that, but I wasn't too good a mood that then anyway. Voice is not completely back, but I'm not complaining because God's able.
Amen.
Brother Matthias, last night I talked to him a moment, and I could sympathize with him.
Yes, sir.
Until you've been there, you can't do that.
That's right.
Amen.
He sounded about like I did. Last Wednesday night, I couldn't even finish my sermon. It just every once in a while leaves. But God's still faithful.
Yes, He is.
If He was able to find me, if He was able to focus on my sin, if He's able to furnish me a Savior, He certainly, He's able to be faithful to me.
Amen.
And He can furnish me everything that I need for the
That's
ministry.
Right. Amen.
Our brother this afternoon, facing the unknown, Nobody ever knows what that feels like until you hear that word. The devil plays havoc on your mind. But God's faithful.
Amen.
I just finished up 18 radiations. You don't know what it feels like until you hear that word.
Yeah.
But God's faithful.
Amen.
He's able. And God gave me this message to instill in my heart that He is always faithful.
Amen.
Whatever situation I find myself in, our God is able.
Yes.
Thank you, brother, for having me come and all the history we've had. God's able.
Amen.
And I pray the Lord bless us together.